Now, Trump taxes, facial recognition. I'm Barton Eckert. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin defied the House Ways and Means Committee subpoena for President Trump's tax returns. Correspondent Pamela Brown.
President Trump's team is only digging in its heels even more, fighting the House Ways and Means Committee chairman's subpoena, saying with the Treasury Secretary, Steve Mnuchin, saying Congress doesn't have a legislative purpose here, a legitimate one, and that he doesn't have the authority to release 6 years of President Trump's tax returns.
In the same week, San Francisco voted to ban police use of facial recognition. A report is out on the NYPD's questionable use of the technology. Correspondent T.J. Coutini.
New York's police department used a photo of Woody Harrelson in its facial recognition program in an attempt to ID a beer thief who looked like the actor. Georgetown University's Center on Privacy and Technology highlighted the April 2017 episode in a report on what it says are flawed practices in law enforcement's use of facial recognition. The report says security footage of the thief was too pixelated and produced no matches, while high-quality images of Harrelson returned several possible matches and did lead to an arrest. The Georgetown report says facial recognition has helped the NYPD crack about 2,900 cases in more than 5 years of using the technology. T.J. Coutini, Washington.
U.S. diplomats are warning that commercial airliners flying over the wider Persian Gulf faced a risk of being misidentified amid heightened tensions between the U.S. and Iran. An Ohio State University official says it's not clear whether anyone ever went to authorities to report a former doctor now accused of sexually abusing more than 150 male students. Taiwan's legislature legalized same-sex marriage, becoming the first in Asia to make the move. On Wall Street on Friday, stocks closed down, the Dow off 98 points, S&P down 16, NASDAQ down 81. I'm Barton Eckert.
Donald Trump has declared war against the Federal Reserve. The winner will determine the outcome of the world's economy. My name's Adam Baratta. I'm the author of the national best-selling book, Gold is a Better Way. Trump has called the Federal Reserve crazy, his number one enemy, and believes they've blown a massive asset bubble that their rising rates will pop. Trump knows he must beat the Fed to the punch before they cause another financial collapse. He'll do this by monetizing gold. His brilliant plan will cause the price of gold to double overnight. I lay it all out in my in-depth report, The Mar-a-Lago Accord. To get this report and a free copy of my best-selling book, text the words Trump Gold to 49776. That's Trump Gold to 49776. The U.S. owns more gold than every nation in the world. Trump's about to use that gold to make America great again. Text Trump Gold to 49776. That's Trump Gold to 49776. If you have an IRA or 401k, you absolutely need to see this. Text Trump Gold to 49776.
The SAT test isn't just about math and science. Correspondent Jeff McKay says the new SAT scores will be based on an additional factor, adversity.
Colleges have been dealing with the admissions scandal that allowed the kids of wealthy parents into the schools of their choice. Now the organization that oversees the SAT tests will be adding a new dynamic to the test teens take to try to get admission to the college of their choice, adversity. The College Board will add an adversity score calculated from 15 factors, including neighborhood crime and poverty rates, median family income, and high school environment. SAT studies found students from wealthy families scored 200 points better than families below the poverty line. One thing the new scoring doesn't take into consideration, race, basing calculations on location and research. I'm Jeff McKay.
And I'm Barton Eckert.
Thinking about life insurance? What if you could make one free phone call and learn your best price from nearly a dozen highly rated price competitive companies? Well, that's exactly what happens when you call SelectQuote Life. For example, George is 40. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $25 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino. And believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-890-6688. That's 800-890-6688. 800-890-6688. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
WMAL traffic, I'm Michelle Murray. Some slowing traffic now on the Beltway in the Springfield area due to some construction. This is on the outer loop between Braddock Road and the Springfield Interchange. They're doing some work along the left side of the roadway, some resurfacing till about 7 o'clock this morning, so do expect some delays there. Now, if you're traveling in the district, keep in mind that there are some road closures due to the ACLU experience happening this weekend. 8th Street is closed in both directions between E Street Northwest and F Street.
Sundays on WMAL, starting at 5 a.m., it's VA Sunday Magazine. At 5:30, hear the Chris McKay Show. At 6, it's Purity Products. And at 6:30, Chris McKay Returns. At 7, it's Heroes Talk Radio with David Ahrens. At 8, it's the Eric Stewart Show, pointing you home. And at 8:30, it's Senior Solutions. Hear the Wise Investor Show at 9, the Del Walmsley Show at 10, the Underwriter's Corner at 11, Dr. Tom Rozelle Live at noon, Right on Retirement at 1, Mortgage Radio at 3, and Real Estate Today at 7 on WMAL.
University of Maryland University College salutes the members of our military who inspire us with their unwavering commitment to service, like alumnus Jake Messier. When Jake joined the Marines, he promised his dad he'd finish his college education. As a combat correspondent, traveling to 43 countries, he covered stories about his fellow service members. During his last assignment in Tokyo, he made good on his promise, completing a bachelor's degree from UMUC. At age 45, continuing his commitment to serving others, he founded Olderpreneur Coach, a consulting service for older entrepreneurs, and Heard Strategy and Storytelling, a marketing firm that created jobs for furloughed employees during the recent government shutdown. Celebrate National Military Appreciation Month with University of Maryland University College. Join us in honoring those who serve. Give a shout-out to a service member today at hashtag UMUC Military, or read more stories at umuc.edu/military appreciation. Certified to operate in Virginia by CHEV.
Hey, it's Larry O'Connor, and my friends and realtors, Sarah and Debbie Reynolds with Keller Williams, are killing it. Sarah and Debbie just sold Bob's home in just 5 days at $10,000 over the asking price. You know, agent selection matters, and now's the time you need to work with an experienced agent with a proven track record like Sarah and Debbie Reynolds. I've had the pleasure of sitting down with their clients who always say, "We're so glad we called the Reynolds team." I've seen their systems and their extensive list of ready buyers, over 8,000 pre-screened buyers who are looking for homes in the D.C. area. At the end of the deal, you want the most money in your pocket. The Reynolds team has the track record and guarantees to sell your home at 100% of your asking price, or they're going to pay you the difference, guaranteed, in writing. Call Sarah and Debbie Reynolds right now, 844-344-SOLD. That's 844-344-SOLD, or visit DebbieHasTheBuyers.com. That's DebbieHasTheBuyers.com.
Now, the Saturday morning update. 105.9 FM and AM 630.
Good morning. It is the Saturday morning update, 6:08. I'm Rick Fowler, Jeff Wolf behind the console, Jane Houghton and our producer this morning. And obviously a lot to cover in the news, not only for the week, but just from the last 24 hours. And we will be joined this morning by Gordon Chang, and we'll get his read on what's going on with North Korea and China. Cheryl Atkinson will join her in a little bit later on. We'll have Cheryl on the show. And we're going to talk with Cheryl about the latest from the southern border and also her impressions of the latest on the investigation of the investigators, the origins of the Russia probe. We'll also talk about that with Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer. We'll talk with Tony about the situation with Iran this morning. John Gizzi will join us, and we'll talk with John about the two proposals on immigration, legal immigration from the president, illegal immigration from Lindsey Graham. Also, we're going to get a read from John Gizzi also on the quote-unquote constitutional crisis the Democrats say facing the country in the wake of the rejection of many subpoenas as the administration continues to ignore subpoenas. Yet another one from the Democrats to subpoena President Trump's taxes. Deadline passed yesterday. Steve Mnuchin, Secretary of the Treasury, did not produce the documents. Is it a constitutional crisis? John Gizzi will put it in perspective for us. And very latest on Theresa May in the UK. We'll talk with John about that later on this morning. And obviously, plenty going on. Jennifer Harper will be with us. She's got some interesting poll numbers showing a bump for Trump. And also, the Mueller report now gaining its own book club. Yeah, Jeff is howling with laughter silently in the studio across the console. plenty going on. And some of the latest developments in the news, and you may not hear too much about this because it's actually pretty good news, and that is that Mexico's National Chamber and also the President of Mexico and the Canadian Premier, Justin Trudeau, all seem quite positive on the trade tariff negotiations and the new trade deal that has been reached between Mexico, the United States, and Canada. The President explains it.
Before I begin, I'm pleased to announce that we've just reached an agreement with Canada and Mexico, and we'll be selling our product into those countries without the imposition of tariffs or major tariffs. Big difference. As you know, Canada has been for years, and we have a great relationship with Canada and the Prime Minister. We have a great relationship, but they've been charging us extremely high tariffs. As much as 285% or more for our agricultural products, which is an absolute barrier. It's essentially a barrier. In other words, when you pay 285, guess what? You know what they're saying? We don't want your business. So it was a barrier to our farmers being able to do business with them, to our farmers being able to sell product in there. So that deal is going to be a fantastic deal for our country. And hopefully Congress will approve the USMCA quickly, and then the great farmers and manufacturers and steel plants will make our economy even more successful than it already is.
So that's the President on the new trade deal announced yesterday. Obviously a lot going on with Iran. We're going to get into detail with Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer later on this morning. And the Democrats, including Richard Blumenthal, all up in arms, assuming that we're going to go to war. Media's all excited, but somebody shouted a question to the President as he entered the West Wing yesterday afternoon, and here's what he had to say about going to war with Iran.
Mr. President, are we going to war with Iran?
And a short hope not, but all the signals coming out of the White House that we're picking up from you know, people we know, as well as what's in the media, is that the President does not want to go to war with Iran, has reached out to Iran, reached out again recently in hopes of having dialogue with Iran. Again, another one of these problems that so many administrations have kicked the can down the highway, and the President trying to resolve them, and we shall see how that plays out. We're going to, in a couple of minutes, present a number of segments from the interview that Attorney General Bill Barr did with Bill Hemmer at Fox News yesterday, because if you weren't watching Fox News yesterday, you probably wouldn't have seen it. And if you saw any of it, it would have been a snippet, probably on a mainstream media outlet, and it may not have been the strongest cut from a fairly lengthy interview. As you know, the mainstreams don't always look for the positive. So we'll be presenting that very shortly to you. While we have a second, Mayor Bill de Blasio has jumped into the race in New York. You may have heard he is the 23rd presidential candidate to join in the race, and that is rather amusing. Because Bill de Blasio has not got a great rap in New York. Headline in Politico, New York City may not have a reputation as the friendliest town, but the news that Mayor Bill de Blasio is running for president was met with particular derision. All right, as an example, former Goldman Sachs CEO Lloyd Blankfein tweeting, "On the bright side, if de Blasio gets elected prez, we New Yorkers will lose his undivided attention a year ahead of schedule." Assemblyman Ron Kim is a Queens Democrat. He said, quote, "I think there's a lot of hypocrisy behind his actions, and I think in a place like New York, people see right through it." President Trump was a little bit more direct.
"I can't believe it. I just heard that the worst mayor in the history of New York City, and without question, the worst mayor in the United States, is now running for president. It will never happen. I'm pretty good at predicting things like that."
Well, it'll get interesting when de Blasio gets out there. He's out actually campaigning this weekend. A lot of problems in the city of New York. I just wonder how all the residents of these cities and states where their mayors and their congressmen and their senators are out campaigning and putting their full attention on trying to get elected president with a 1 in 23 chance at best, a 1 in a million chance at the worst. And I would think they'd be neglecting things in their home states and districts for the next year and a half. Year and a half we have to put up with this. Oh, well, let us check the WMAL traffic and weather. Michelle Murray is in the WMAL Traffic Center.
Traveling in Virginia on 395, be aware of some bridge maintenance operations taking place on 395 southbound north of Seminary Road, headed towards Duke Street along the left side until 8 o'clock this morning. And northbound, this is in place on the left lane just as you approach the Pentagon. So far, not causing any delays. Now, keep in mind that the D.C. bike ride is taking place this morning with some road closures beginning at about 6:30. So this will include Ohio Drive, portions of Ohio Drive, Main Avenue, and also 7th Street will be closed between D Street and Independence Avenue. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
Looks mostly cloudy today, but at least warming up. We'll be up to 81 this afternoon. Isolated thunderstorms on Sunday with a high of 88. Cloudy on Monday, high 89, but then we cool back down on Tuesday. High only 73 on Tuesday. We'll be in the 70s on Wednesday. Right now in Washington, it's a pleasant 65 degrees, and we're heading up to 81 this afternoon. 617 on the Saturday morning update.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
It is the Saturday morning update on WMAL. I'm Rick Fowler. Thank you for getting up early and joining us on a Saturday morning. And as I mentioned, the Attorney General, lengthy interview with Bill Hemmer of Fox News, and Bill traveled to El Salvador because the Attorney General was in El Salvador working on the MS-13 gang strategy with the El Salvadoran government. And you may have remembered that Jeff Sessions started that push to eradicate MS-13, and Attorney General was there in El Salvador to work on that. And he sat down with Bill Hemmer. And obviously one of the big stories that is swirling around Washington is the origins of the Russia probe. And Bill Hemmer asked the Attorney General where he was on the origins of that probe.
Well, the first step is find out exactly what happened. And we're trying to get our arms around that, getting all the relevant information from the various agencies and starting to talk to some of the people that have information. You know, the thing that's interesting about this is that this was handled at a very senior level of these departments. It wasn't handled in the ordinary way that investigations or counterintelligence activities are conducted. It was sort of an ad hoc small group, and most of these people are no longer with the FBI or the CIA or the other agencies involved.
And the Attorney General was asked, why is it so hard to figure it out?
There are two things here. One, no one's really looked at it. I think there's a misconception out there that we know a lot about what happened. The fact of the matter is, Bob Mueller did not look at the government's activities. He was looking at whether or not the Trump campaign had conspired with the Russians, but he was not going back and looking at the counterintelligence program. And we have a number of investigations underway that touch upon it, the main one being the Office of Inspector General that's looking at the FISA warrants. But as far as I'm aware, no one has really looked across the whole waterfront.
And here's an interesting question. Did you get the answers to your question when you came into the job?
Well, I thought when I came in from the outside that all the questions that I had and many other people had that would be readily answered once I got in. But I haven't found that to be the case.
And the reason I'm presenting a lot of the Bill Barr interview is, number one, he has been vilified in the media, vilified by the Democrats. He's fairly quiet. I mean, this is the first interview he's done since the release of the Mueller report. And I think there's a side of Bill Barr that I think it's very interesting to hear his demeanor, hear where he's going. And that's why we'd like to continue. And again, this is the interview that Bill Hemmer at Fox did with him yesterday. And he was asked about spying on the Trump campaign?
You know, I've been trying to get answers to questions, and I found that a lot of the answers have been inadequate. And I've also found that some of the explanations I've gotten don't hang together. So in a sense, I have more questions today than I did when I first started.
Some of what things don't hang together?
Some of the explanations of what occurred.
Why does that matter?
Well, because I think people have to find out what the government was doing during that period. If we're worried about foreign influence, for the very same reason we should be worried about whether government officials abused their power and put their thumb on the scale. And so I'm not saying that happened, but I'm saying that we have to look at that.
And as the interview continued, Bill Hemmer asked if he was surprised that Special Prosecutor Robert Mueller came back with no recommendation on the obstruction charges.
Were you surprised that Bob Mueller came back with no recommendation on that obstruction charge? That surprised you?
Yes, that surprised
me. How come?
The function of a prosecutor is to make a call one way or the other.
Did you ask him why?
Yeah, we discussed it.
What did he say?
Well, I already have said that we met on March 5th before he delivered the report, and he gave an explanation for it, and it's pretty much reflected in the report.
Nancy Pelosi, she believes you lied under oath. What do you think of that charge?
Well, I think it's a laughable charge, and I think it's largely being made to try to discredit me, partly because they may be concerned about the outcome of a review of what happened during the election. But obviously, you can look at the face of my testimony and see on its face that there's nothing inaccurate about it.
And Bill Hemmer went on to ask him about his interaction with the Congress.
When you took this job, did you think Democrats would make you the target?
Yes.
You were ready for that?
Yes. I thought I was in a position where this kind of criticism really wouldn't bother me very much.
What about the charge of contempt that is already passed in committee that may go to the floor of the House, holding you in contempt? What do you think of that?
You know, that's part of the usual game, you know, political circus that's being played out. It doesn't surprise me.
You call it a circus. Do you feel threatened?
No, I don't feel threatened.
Cool as a cucumber. Here's an interesting question about the role the Steele dossier played in the investigation.
Well, that's one of the questions, you know, that we're going to have to look at. It's a very unusual situation to have opposition research like that, especially one that on its face had a number of clear mistakes and a somewhat jejune analysis, and to use that to conduct counterintelligence against an American political campaign would be a strange development. I'm not sure what role it played, but that's something we have to look at.
And here's a good question. He was asked if do you smell a rat?
Do you smell a rat in this at this point?
I don't know if I'd describe it a rat. I would just say that the answers I'm getting are not sufficient.
Wow. Some very interesting comments there from the Attorney General, Bill Barr. And we have some more audio we will play from that interview, including his interaction with Nancy Pelosi, which you may have heard that he trolled Nancy Pelosi. We'll get to that a little later on the program this morning. It is a Saturday morning update. We are at 6:24. It is great to have you with us.
I'm Melanie King, Manager of IT Projects and National Accounts for American Dairy Queen Corporation. We needed a website to satisfy our home office needs and provide our franchisees with a site for communication with the home office. It's difficult to find a company that works with both large and small businesses. Thankfully, we turned to AmericanEagle.com. After meeting with us, they determined our needs and the needs of our franchisees, each one a small business. We now have an incredibly effective communication tool we love. It's mobile-friendly and allows us to manage and communicate national promotions, menu info, and a lot more. It meets all of our business needs. Just remember, when you get the urge for a blizzard or a fantastic burger, stop by your local Dairy Queen. If you're looking for a results-driven web solution that meets your needs, whether you're a small, medium-sized business or an iconic brand like Dairy Queen, call AmericanEagle.com.
Call AmericanEagle.com at 703-WEBSITE. That's 703-WEBSITE. And take your business to new heights.
Alban Rents has been reloaded. New management, new equipment, new locations. With the same reliability and service you've come to trust. offering a full fleet of both CAT and non-CAT equipment, including lifts, trucks, trailers, and more, all available for daily, weekly, or monthly rates. With 9 locations and more on the way, we're equipped to help you with any job. Get started today at AlbanRents.com. That's AlbanRents.com. Rents Reloaded. More than just dirt.
The Specialist does one thing and one thing alone, and they do it better than anyone else. At Mercedes-Benz of Arlington, we only sell one thing, Mercedes, just Mercedes. Family-owned and operated since 1937, we treat everyone like one of the family, helping you find the right GLC, GLE, S-Class, or AMG. And with more than 300 on hand, you won't wait for your Mercedes, you'll drive it home. Mercedes-Benz of Arlington, located inside the Beltway and always open at justmercedes.com.
What's the best way to grow your money? While you're sleeping. It's called your investment income. Need good fiduciary advice? Go to GrahamCapitalWealth.com.
It is so great to be able to hear you.
105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Thank you for taking my call.
Where Washington comes to talk.
Do you know what a realtor is actually supposed to do for you? I'm Eric Stewart of the Eric Stewart Group of Long & Foster, and as a realtor with over 30 years of experience and over 3,000 transactions, my team has created a tried and true method of working with our clients to sell their homes fast and for top dollar. And we want to give it to you for free. Call us to learn more about our market-ready guide and how to prep your home for sale with a knowledgeable realtor. It's 800-900-9104, 800-900-9104.
It is the Saturday morning update. I'm Rick Fowler. Thank you very much for being with us this morning. And we got one more cut we want to play from the Bill Hemmer Fox News interview with the Attorney General Bill Barr. And again, just wanted to give you a little insight into the Attorney General in the wake of all the criticism surrounding him. He's pretty much his own guy, but I think this is a classic from Bill Barr, and this is where he talks about Speaker Pelosi's charge about lying under oath.
Well, I think it's a laughable charge, and I think it's largely being made to try to discredit me, partly because they may be concerned about the outcome of a review of what happened during the election.
What does that mean?
That means they may be trying to undermine my credibility, but obviously you can look at the face of my testimony and see on its face that there's nothing inaccurate about it.
You reportedly had a conversation with her this week.
Yes.
What did you say to her?
Well, I wouldn't call it a conversation. It was more like an icebreaker. I was introduced and I asked her if she had brought her handcuffs with her.
And she said?
I didn't really quite hear what she said, but she wasn't unpleasant about it.
What she will say, and Democrats will say, is that you were spinning on behalf of the president, with the principal conclusions that you released. They leveled charges that you held back the Mueller report for several weeks. Were you spinning for the White House to buy some time?
No, I wasn't. I think what they're really perhaps annoyed about is that they didn't have an opportunity to spin and that the fundamental findings of the report were out there for everybody to see, and they were not in a position to spin.
Very interesting comments from the Attorney General, and credit to Bill Hemmer at Fox News for that. One quick note from the sports world. If you were planning to watch the Preakness this afternoon, a lot of people, big deal, reports are that neither Maximum Security will be running in the race. Of course, that was the first winner of the Kentucky Derby, nor Country House, the second winner in the Kentucky Derby, will be running at the Preakness. So before you schlep over there and pay scalp ticket prices. Now, if you're going to kick back and watch the PGA Championship this weekend, Tiger Woods is not playing in the PGA Championship. They thought he would, but he won't this weekend. So a big letdown for sports fans.
Retirement questions? You can bet Kelly Campbell probably has the answer. Join him every Sunday afternoon at 1 for Right on Retirement. With more than 25 years of experience, Kelly can help take the guesswork out of your retirement planning. Right on Retirement is your source for all things retirement, from how current events could affect your savings to strategies to maximize retirement income and everything in between. Join us, Right on Retirement, with the president of Campbell Wealth Management, Kelly Campbell, Sunday afternoons at 1.
The National Mall, a place for the country to coalesce. Washington's Mall, WMAL, a place where Washington comes together.
How about that?
105.9 FM and AM 630. Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
Thinking about life insurance? What if you could make one free phone call and learn your best price from nearly a dozen highly rated price competitive companies? Well, that's exactly what happens when you call SelectQuote Life. For example, George is 40. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $25 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino. And believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-890-6688. That's 800-890-6688. 800-890-6688. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
And a quick check of the headlines. Robert Mueller, the special counsel, will not testify next week before Congress, as Democratic lawmakers had hoped. They're far from giving up, though, on hearing from him. It won't be next week, according to Jerry Nadler, chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, told reporters yesterday. He will come at some point. If necessary, we will subpoena him. U.S. diplomats are warning that commercial airliners flying over the wider Persian Gulf face a risk of being misidentified amid the heightened tensions between the U.S. and Iran. The warning relayed this morning by U.S. diplomatic posts from the FAA, underlining the risks that the current tensions are posing in the area. Missouri Democratic lawmakers are slamming a bill to ban abortions at 8 weeks of pregnancy. The House Minority Leader Crystal Quaid says there is no liberty in Missouri when government strips women of control of their own bodies. She says, quote, it's shameful and scary that there are no exceptions for rape or incest, only for medical emergencies. Democratic Senator Jill Shipp says she believes the measure goes against the U.S. Supreme Court's landmark Roe v. Wade decision legalizing abortion. She expects parts of the wide-ranging bill to be upheld. For all President Trump's talk of winning, his lawyers are using a legal argument that many scholars say is a pretty sure loser to try to defy congressional attempts to investigate him. Yet the Trump lawyers may end up delaying the probes with their arguments, and that could be a win. In New York and Washington courts, Trump is attempting to beat back subpoenas by Congress to get financial records from accountants and banks that Trump and his family do business with. His argument is partly that congressional Democrats have no legitimate legislative purpose in seeking the records. Some scholars say that's a losing argument. Congress's authorities to investigate is broad, but even if judges in both cases rule against Trump, appeals may take months or even years to resolve. Time for a check of the traffic and weather. Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
The earlier roadwork on the Beltway in Virginia on the outer loop between Braddock Road and the Springfield Interchange has cleared. All lanes are open and traffic is moving well there. As well, traffic is moving at a good pace as you travel the Beltway in Maryland. On 395, you will find some roadwork northbound, just south of Washington Boulevard in the left lane, and southbound in between Seminary Road and Duke Street along the left side of the roadway. Also, keep in mind that on the George Washington Parkway northbound between the CIA and the Beltway, the right lane is closed with the sinkhole repairs. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
Looks cloudy today with a high of 81. Thunderstorms tomorrow, high 88. Cloudy on Monday, high 89. Some clouds Tuesday, high 73. And Wednesday, look for sunshine with a high of 78. Right now in Washington, we're at 65. We're headed to 81 this afternoon, and it's 6:35 on the Saturday Morning Update.
You get more for your money at Thompson Creek. This is Mary Walter. I know firsthand that Thompson Creek Window Company does it all. They design, build, and install replacement windows so you won't pay the middleman markup. In the typical supply chain, the manufacturer builds a window, marks it up, and sells to a distributor, who then marks it up and sells the window to a dealer, who also adds their markup. That's a lot of markup. Plus, who's responsible if you have a warranty claim? Thompson Creek Window Company is different because they are the manufacturer, so you won't pay the middleman markup. And they are totally accountable to their customers. You get high-quality windows at an affordable price. Call now to save 40% for a limited time. Buy one window and get 40% off the next window, plus 0% interest until December 2020. See ThompsonCreek.com for details. Call 855-57-CREEK before this offer is gone.
Hey, it's Larry O'Connor, and I want you to meet Denise. Like many others, she suffers from sleep apnea.
I would wake up in the morning feeling very tired, like I hadn't slept at all. I would wake up every morning with a headache, and that feeling basically lasted all day.
It can really take a toll.
I was struggling at work. I'm too tired to do anything at home once I got home, and I didn't know where my life was going.
How were you feeling?
I was desperate at that point.
After trying many options, you discovered Inspire, a sleep apnea solution and alternative to CPAP. Now, how has life been since Inspire?
Things are great. I feel brighter all day.
What's the biggest change you've seen?
I can go to the movies. I can watch a movie on TV, and I see the beginning, middle, and end.
It seems like such a small thing, but sounds like it's made a big impact.
My life is great. Life is just great.
To learn how you can treat sleep apnea without a mask like Denise does and review important safety information, visit InspireSleep.com. That's InspireSleep.com.
Patient testimonials are genuine and typical. However, results may vary.
It is a Saturday morning update. It is great to have Jennifer Harper with us every weekend. She writes inside the Beltway at the Washington Times. Good morning.
Good morning, Rick.
Unexpected bump for Trump. A lot of people look at a lot of different ratings, but what are you looking at in terms of the latest poll numbers?
Well, this is a totally unexpected Trump bump, and it is coming from Zogby Analytics. John Zogby is a veteran pollster. And this is what he has to say. Trump's job approval rating has seen a post-Mueller report boost. He's getting a bump from the Mueller report. How about that? And I was even surprised. I see all the polls you can imagine, and I was even surprised at this one. Trump's job approval rating has seen a post-Mueller report boost. This is according to a Zogby Analytics survey of likely voters. And it now finds Mr. Trump with a 51% overall approval rating. And this is the highest that the pollster has ever recorded for Mr. Trump. Again, 51% approval rating. And they're crediting Robert Mueller's investigation for giving him this boost. They also say that Trump is riding high on positive economic news, a record high stock market, low unemployment, solid GDP growth at home. And at the moment, President Trump's approval rating is higher than Obama's at the same point in his presidency. Again, this is coming from Zogby Analytics, and they point out that President Obama, at this point in his presidency, had a 48% approval at the time. They break down some of the demographics, and this is a surprise. A majority of millennials now approve of Trump. Nearly half of Generation Z voters, that's 49%, approve of Trump. Trump is winning back Hispanics, independents, college educated voters, and urban voters. And they also say that his good approval rating is being driven by a surge in popularity among college educated voters, voters living in the West, independents, millennials, suburban men, urban men, and middle-aged voters. And they say he has made a lot of improvements with minorities. 27% of African Americans now approve of the president, along with 45% of Hispanics. So there you go, unexpected Trump bump from the Mueller report.
Here's another interesting survey as we approach the 2020 election. What did the Pew Research firm have to say about socialism and democracy?
Yes, well, there's some news perhaps for Senator Bernie Sanders. Democracy worldwide is very popular right now. And this is something that our Democratic Socialist friends might be a little dismayed to know. And this is coming from the Pew Research Center. This is one of these massive polls that they do, and they said this. Concern has been growing for the past several years about the future of democracy, and there is considerable dissatisfaction in many countries. But public support for democratic ideals remains strong, and by one measure, global democracy is at a near modern-day high. meaning that's how popular it is. Again, this is the Pew Research Center. As of the end of 2017, 96 out of 167 countries with populations of at least 500,000, this is 57% of them, were democracies of some kind, and only 13% were autocratic. And there were another four dozen countries which exhibited elements of both democracy and autocracy. And broadly speaking, Pew Research says the share of democracies among the world's government has been on an upward trend since the mid-1970s and now sits just shy of its post-World War II record, which was 58% of the nations of the world. And if you can stand a couple of more numbers this early in the morning, we also have to mention some research coming from Gallup, which finds that socialism does not have much allure for voters. They say less than half of Americans, 47%, say they would vote for a qualified presidential candidate who is a socialist. Again, this is coming from Gallup. And they say that a lot of the other sort of demographics that could possibly be with a presidential hopeful, they get a lot more positive numbers. If a candidate were African-American, 96% of people would be happy to vote for that person. 95% would vote for a Hispanic candidate. 94% would vote for a female candidate. 80% would vote for an evangelical Christian. 76% for a gay or lesbian candidate. And so forth and so on all the way down. But when it comes to socialism, only 47% would. So that's your update on the state of socialism here and abroad.
A lot of people, especially in the Washington area, members of a book club of some sort or another. I understand there is a Mueller book club going, but it might have a slightly different twist.
Well, yes, indeed. This is kind of an effort among Democratic strategists to keep the Mueller report alive and kicking, or at least on the radar somehow. And let's revisit that 488-page investigative report into Russian collusion. And a lot of folks know that the report itself instantly became books. I mean, within 48 hours, these incredible publishers had already put together online versions and actual print versions of the Mueller report. Well, as you mentioned, there is now a Mueller book club. And this was just launched by the Trump is Not Above the Law Coalition. And this is a new activist group that hopes to encourage more people to actually read the report. And of course, that wouldn't be a bad idea at all, because then they would find out what the facts are. But moving right along, they have already had a book club meeting online, which was streamed on Facebook. And they're going to have another one right on Monday night. And my gosh, they're going to be featuring House Judiciary Committee Chairman Gerald Nadler. And these are all online. I would love to imagine them all sitting in someone's living room talking about the book, but that's not how they're doing it. But anyway, this is what the group has to say. Just 3% of the country say they have read Mueller's report on his investigation into Russian interference in the 2016 election. And the goal of the book club is to encourage people to understand what Mueller found and what it means for our democracy. And again, well, they'll probably come across some facts, too. So the Mueller Book Club, can't wait to hear their book report.
Well, I find it interesting that Mayor Bill de Blasio is the 23rd Democrat to announce that he will be running for president. He was interviewed on Good Morning America, and even George Stephanopoulos turned around to look at the protesters outside the glass at the studio at Times Square. What is the latest on Bill de Blasio?
Yeah, well, indeed, you're 100% right about that. New York is not very happy with Mr. de Blasio right now, and indeed, he announced his candidacy this week, and he is already on the campaign trail. As we speak, the man is in both Iowa and South Carolina. He's gone off campaigning, and his motto is working people first. And, you know, he skittered out of town, but he's left behind a very disgruntled city and a very cranky press. And, boy, I would not want the New York press to be cranky at me. But they're kind of cranky at the mayor right now. And according to the New York Post, they say de Blasio has the dubious distinction of being the only candidate or potential candidate out of 23 contenders to earn a negative rating among national Democrats, and they're citing all these polls. The New York Times said de Blasio can't beat Trump. He can't even troll him. The Week said Bill de Blasio squeezes into the Democratic clown car, and then the candidate himself, he's already made his campaign video in which he says Donald Trump must be stopped. So that's the latest on Bill de Blasio, but there's part two about this, Rick, in terms of the mayor of New York. We have to remember that, Rudy Giuliani and Michael Bloomberg both had presidential aspirations. In fact, Bloomberg may still run. We don't know about that. But here comes a very interesting editorial from the New York Sun, and you're never going to guess who they are suggesting could be a good New York mayor, and I'll just go right into it. Mayor Ocasio-Cortez. How about that? Can you imagine? Anyway, this is a New York Sun editorial, and they are looking into the fact that Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, she's only been in office for 4 months, but she could find a new political calling right in New York City, her hometown. And it says the fun Ms. Ocasio-Cortez is having right now on Capitol Hill could fade if the GOP regains the House in 2020. And then she'd be faced with the interminable drudgery of being without seniority and in a minority. One can imagine that prospect of a mayoral race, which would look attractive to the young firebrand with a, we don't mind saying, a quick wit and a taste for the limelight. Again, this is the New York Sun suggesting AOC, well, Mayor AOC, who knows? Could happen 5 years maybe.
Well, that's a tough one. I'm sitting here thinking she might be a step up from de Blasio, but I'm just not sure. Let's turn to shopping in New York. So a lot of people go to New York to shop in the holiday season, but they may have to go to Jersey to buy furs.
That's a good way to put it, because I'll tell you, New York politics is getting fuzzier here, Rick, because the city is now considering banning all sales of fur apparel. And this is all in the name of animal rights, and the city council had a big hearing on it this week. And you have to remember that both Los Angeles and San Francisco have already banned all fur sales in their cities. I did not know that. And they have, of course, there's a poll with all of this which found that 75% of New York City voters thought that it would be okay to have a citywide law prohibiting the sale of fur apparel, and this was agreed upon by both Republicans, Democrats, and independents alike. And, of course, the animal advocacy groups are in on this. And according to Friends of Animals, they say the results show that New York City needs to take action to catch up to what is clearly society's sentiment that cruelty is not fashionable and New York cannot be the ultimate fashion-forward role model by passing by not passing this legislation. Again, that's coming from Friends of Animals. But let me tell you who is pushing back here, and obviously so is the fur industry. And they're claiming the International Fur Federation has taken out a billboard above Times Square which says fake fur kills fish. And their point is that natural fur doesn't require any chemicals. It's not made of plastic, et cetera, et cetera. So there's a big battle in New York between the fur and the non-fur people. And it goes on and on. But anyway, the interesting part about the new law in New York, if this passes, it does not ban old fur coats. So Great Aunt Madge can keep her mink coat if she wants to. And they're kind of grandfathered in. It's okay to have an old fur, they say. It does not ban any leather. It does not ban the sale of used fur. And it also, and this is of interest to some of the residents up there in New York, it does not prevent certain residents from wearing fur apparel that they own for religious customs.
So for Aunt Madge's fur that she owns, she's grandmothered in on that one.
But
if Aunt Madge gets a new fur and somebody asks where she got it, she'll have to say Hackensack. How embarrassing. Jennifer Harper, inside the Beltway at the Washington Times. Thank you very much. Follow her on Twitter at Harper Bulletin.
Thanks a lot, Rick. I appreciate it.
Something in the water in New York. Time for a check of the traffic and weather. Then we'll talk to Gordon Chang. Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
In the district, you will find some slowing traffic through the long-term work zone northbound on 295 at the Suitland Parkway. And be aware that the off-ramp is closed in that long-term work zone as well. Now on 395 heading southbound north of King Street headed towards Duke Street, there is some road work going on in the right lane and the right center lanes are doing the bridge maintenance operations. It is causing some delays. And also keep in mind that the 2019 D.C. bike ride taking place today affecting some streets, including 7th Street. That is closed between D Street and Independence Avenue. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
We've got clouds today, high 81. Some thunderstorms tomorrow, only a 30% chance of rain with a high of 88. Cloudy on Monday and Tuesday with a high 89 Monday, down to 73 on Tuesday. 65 in D.C. We're heading to 81 this afternoon, 650 on the Saturday morning update.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
Saturday morning update on WMAL. Obviously, North Korea and China very much in the news recently, and we're joined by Gordon Chang. He is the author of Losing South Korea, which was released earlier this year, and he's also written Nuclear Showdown, North Korea Takes on the World, and The Coming Collapse of China. He's a columnist at the Daily Beast, and Gordon, it's great to have you on with us this morning.
Well, thank you so much, Rick.
Want to get you a read on where we are in these trade talks with China. The Chinese state media seems to be signaling a lack of interest in resuming trade talks right now. Beijing has said this is, quote, a people's war. President Trump continuing to tout his strong personal relationship with the Chinese president. But is Xi Jinping negotiating in good faith?
Yeah, I don't think he actually is. I don't even know if he's in charge these days. You know, they withdrew the commitments they had made to U.S. trade negotiators. And there's a lot of theories for why they did that, but one of them is that Xi Jinping realized that he did not have the political clout to force others in the Chinese political system to accept his concessions. And, you know, right now, with all of this very harsh rhetoric, basically the United States has become the enemy of China because there's now a people's war against us. I don't think that there's anyone on the other side to talk to. So, effectively, there's been a breakdown in talks. Perhaps President Trump can rescue this when he meets Xi Jinping at the G20 in Japan next month. But I'm not even sure that President Trump wants to do that. So, we are at a point where there seems to be an impasse. And because I think that there shouldn't be a trade deal, I'm not terribly upset about where we are right now.
In the past, when we've talked about this, Gordon, you seem to indicate that you feel the U.S. is in a much stronger position than China economically. Now, the Chinese government has said that stimulus will be stepped up to buttress their domestic economy. You tweeted that China is already creating 5.5 times as much debt as nominal GDP. It's up 1.5 times from a year ago. How serious is their financial situation, and can they withstand a trade war with us?
Yeah, I don't think they can withstand a prolonged trade war with us. That 5.5 times nominal GDP is if you believe China's inflated GDP claims. So it's obviously going to be a lot more because China's not growing at the 6.4% that they claim for the first quarter of this year. It's probably 1 or 2%, if that. Chinese economy right now is in distress, and the lack of confidence that I think that we're seeing in China is a result of people understanding that the United States is not going to give concessions to China like it did in the past. The Chinese economy right now is dependent on stealing U.S. intellectual property. We don't know exactly how much, but somewhere between $150 and $600 billion a year. So, you know, at this particular time, I don't think China can withstand the U.S. saying, look, you know, we're going to do something about this.
On Wednesday, the president issued an executive order banning U.S. companies from using information and communications technology from anyone considered a national security threat. And many say that that is aimed at Huawei, the Chinese communication company. Is Trump's executive order an indication that maybe he is giving up on trade talks?
Yeah, I think so, because a lot of people were saying that Trump was not going to sign this long-awaited executive order until the trade agreement had been signed, sealed, and delivered, didn't want to anger the Chinese. Well, this is an indication that President Trump is basically sort of done with the trade talks, at least for a little while. And what was also significant was on the same day, the Commerce Department put Huawei Technologies, the company you referred to, on its entities list, which means essentially that no American company can do business with them without getting a prior license from Commerce. Now, there's been a few waivers granted that they are going to waive the application of the entities list designation for a little while to allow U.S. telecommunications companies to sort of adjust. But this is more than just a trade war now. This is a full-on economic struggle. And I'm sure President Trump has a few more things that he's going to do to make life very miserable for that Xi Jinping guy.
Totally speculative question. Would you get any sense that the Chinese may feel they can wait it out in the hopes that President Trump is not reelected when they see, obviously, the political turmoil here and obstruction and collusion and impeachment talk?
Well, I think that the Chinese have been thinking about that. At least that's what we have been told. We've even had former U.S. officials effectively tell the Chinese to wait it out. Susan Thornton, a former State Department official, sort of hinted at that. But I don't think China can stand that, Rick. And the reason is that as this trade war, quote-unquote, extends and goes into, you know, basically a point where we can't see an agreement, companies are going to get their factories out of China and move them elsewhere. And that means I think we're going to see a big erosion in China's manufacturing sector. A good friend of mine is a business consultant, and on Friday, the Friday that the Trump tariffs, enhanced tariffs, went into effect about a week ago, he was contacted by one of his friends who is a Taiwanese guy, owns the second largest furniture business in China. And the Taiwanese businessman said, look, I'm taking my factories out of China. I want to move them into either Central America or someplace else in Latin America. And so we're going to see much more of this because I think people are now throwing in the towel. They see that this trade war will continue for a very long time. They need to get their factories out of China. China's going to hurt. So if they're thinking they can wait Trump out for November 2020, I think that's a huge mistake.
Well, is somebody else trying to wait it out? And would that be Kim Jong-un? What are your latest thoughts on the U.S.-North Korean relationship and whether these talks on disarmament move forward?
Kim Jong-un right now is not reciprocating the gestures of friendship from President Trump. And now we're about a year since Trump has, Trump basically made a decision in the middle of May of last year to not vigorously enforce the sanctions against North Korea. And he wanted to create this mood where basically Kim felt secure enough to give up his most destructive weapons. Well, Kim has not reciprocated over this year. And the one thing that Kim should learn is he should see that, you know, Trump sort of in 2017, his first year in office, gave Xi Jinping a lot of free passes. Xi did not reciprocate. So in the beginning of last year, Trump sort of brought the hammer down on the Chinese. If I were Kim Jong-un, I'd be worrying that Trump is sort of running out of patience with Kim and he'll bring the hammer down on the North Koreans. So at this particular time, Kim is playing a very dangerous game with a president who is extremely willful.
And the final question, any significance to a decision Friday from South Korea to donate $8 million to international agencies for aid projects in North Korea and allow business people to look at a joint industrial complex? Anything to that?
Well, Moon Jae-in, the South Korean president, is very pro-North Korean. He never misses an opportunity to support Kim Jong-un, and so he's trying to get away with it, to see how much he can shovel money into the hands of Pyongyang, how he can sort of develop these business links, because they're talking about the Kaesong Industrial Complex. You know, business investing in the Kaesong would be a violation of UN sanctions. So essentially what Moon is doing is sort of hoping that South Korean businessmen will, basically support Kim. Moon has been getting away with this for quite some time, and I hope that President Trump brings the hammer down on him as well, because this is open sanctions busting, and the United States should not be permitting it.
Very informative. Gordon Chang, thank you very much, and you can follow Gordon on Twitter at Gordon G. Chang. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Rick. I really appreciate being on your air.
And we appreciate having you, Gordon. News is coming up next at 7 with Heather Curtis. We're back with John Gizzi, Cheryl Atkinson, and Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer. Stay with us.
Washington wins.
Wow.
With 4K a day.
Thank you very much. That's great.
On WMAL, your shot at $1,000 happens four times each weekday.
Hi, I'm George. Keep listening to win $1,000.
WMAL.
WMAL FM Woodbridge, WMAL Washington.
Get your shot at $1,000 four times a day. 4K a day on WMAL, a Cumulus station.